Have you ever found yourself walking into a store with the intention on buying something specific, only to be taken back by the price tag? You find yourself thinking, there is no way I'm paying that much money for this. It's just not worth it. Well, this raises an important question. How do we determine the value of something? How do companies decide what price to put on their products? The first thing they consider is how much value the item holds in the eyes of potential buyers. Now, there are a lot of other factors that go into this, but it ultimately comes down to a basic principle of economics. What are people willing to pay for it? No matter how valuable a product may be, if the price is set too high, most people will hesitate to buy it. They perceive value must align with the price. Otherwise, even the best products may sit on the shelf. Pricing, therefore, is a delicate balance between the value a product offers and the price the market will bear. In today's world, many of us have lost sight of our true value, the significance and the purpose in our life. This happens because we become so focused on social media, letting the opinions of others matter more to us than what God thinks. We care more about getting likes and approvals online than we do about spending time in God's Word. My name is Daniel Ochoa. In today's lesson, we are going to discuss the question, are we insignificant? For today's lesson, I decided to do something different. I decided to read a children's book. Now, this book has a powerful message, even for adults. It is a book that reminds us how special we really are, something that a lot of people need to be reminded of today, especially in the world we live in today. The name of the book is Are You Special by Max Lucado. Now, this book belongs to my 7-year-old daughter, and the other day she came into my office and saw her book on my desk, and she asked, "What are you doing with my book?" I told her I was going to use it for my next video. She said, "Daddy, it's a kid's book." I told her, "Actually, it is a book for kids, teenagers, and adults." She said, "Really?" I said, "Of course, it has a powerful message that many adults need to hear today." Then she looked at me and said, "You know it's one of my favorite books. And trust me, she has over 100 books." I believe that if any of you have children, after you hear this book, you will be compelled to buy it yourself. So let's read the book. The Weemicks were small wooden people. All the wooden people were carved by a woodmaker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Weemick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver and they all lived in the village. All day long, every day, the Weemicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Weemick had a box of Golden Star stickers and a box of Gray Dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood, fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint was chipped, the Weemicks gave them dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still, others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Weemicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then he would try to explain why he fell, and he would say something silly, and the Weemicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid that he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some of the people would come up and give him one for no reason at all. "He deserves lots of dots," the wooden people would agree with one another. "He's not a good wooden person." After a while, Punchinello believed them. "I'm not a good Weemick," he would say. A few times he went outside, he hung around with other Weemicks who had a lot of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a Weemick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that the people didn't try to give her stickers, it was just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Weemicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and try to give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay either. That is the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's mark. So he asked the stickless wee Mick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I go see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in his workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill, he's there. And with that, the wee Mick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tippy toes just to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as an arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here, and he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. Punchinello? The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a good look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The little wee Mick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other wee Micks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're wee Micks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very softly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she had decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will. But it will take time. You've got lots of marks. For now, just come see me every day and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the wee Mick walked out the door, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. We forget that there is only one person that matters when it comes to who we are and how we live our lives, which reminds me of a story about Babe Ruth. Now, if you're not familiar with Babe Ruth, he was one of the greatest baseball players that ever played back in the day. Now, he was in his hometown. He was up the bat. He had a 3-2 count. Pitcher throws the ball, and it was on the outside. Babe Ruth drops his bat, and he starts headed to first place. However, the umpire calls strike three. Babe Ruth was livid. All the fans are yelling boo. He turns around, he gets right up in that umpire's face, and he said, there are 40,000 people in the stadium that know that that last pitch was a ball, tomato head. Now, the umpire happened to be pretty famous, too. His name was Babe Pinella. Babe Pinella looked at him, and he said, that may be true, but my opinion is the only one that counts. You're out. We are being bombarded by way more than 40,000 people telling us how we should live our lives. And for the most part, a lot of people seek to get the approval of these people. When we chase after others' approval, we miss out on genuine love. We miss out on genuine joy in our life. Now, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Happiness is dictated by my circumstances, where joy comes from a deep understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for me. Rick Husband was an astronaut and a captain of the space shuttle Columbia when it went down years ago during re-entry. I don't know if you know this or not, but the most important thing in Rick Husband's life was not space exploration. On Wednesday after the crash, the Washington Post ran an article under the headline, "Commander with the Righteous Stuff." In the article, they quoted Rick saying this, "Being an astronaut was not the absolute culmination of everything there is to life on Earth. As exciting as it is to ride in the space shuttle, it is not as important as my relationship with Jesus Christ. If it came down to where I had to choose one or the other, I would choose Jesus." Now, why would Rick choose Jesus over flying the space shuttle? It was because he was a man who knew joy. Where did his joy come from? It came from a passion. And what was his passion attached to? It was not attached to the superficial stuff of space exploration. His passion was attached to the gospel. Rick understood that his meaning in life did not come from being an astronaut and flying in the space shuttle. His meaning in life was deeply rooted in his relationship with Jesus. Rick understood that God had placed a value on him that was more important than anything else. So how does God value us? Well, let's look at Matthew 10, 29 through 31. "Are two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." God is telling us how much he cares for even a sparrow, and that not one of them will fall to the ground apart from him. Then he tells us not to fear. Why? Because we are more valuable than many sparrows. Let's look at Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." In this verse, we learn that the Lord our God takes great delight in us. When we come to Christ, God rejoices over us with singing. Do you realize how unheard of this is with other religions? Christianity is the only religion that talks about how valuable we truly are to God. Now let's look at Isaiah 43:1. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Have I summoned you by name? You are mine." Isaiah is telling us that not only does God call us by name, but we belong to him. So how do we deepen our understanding of our importance and our significance? That's a good question, which reminds me of a story. Back in the early 1800s, there was this ice house. Now, this was before freezers. So the way they would gather ice is they would go out to a frozen lake and they would cut out blocks of ice and they would take it into the ice house. Now, the way they kept the ice from melting is they would put sawdust all over the ice. The more sawdust they put on it, the longer the ice lasted. One day, towards the end of the day, there was a young worker who started to shout, "I lost my watch, I lost my watch." Now, he had a watch that his father had left him, and his father had passed away, and everybody in the ice house knew how valuable it was to him. So everybody pitched in. They all stayed extra hours looking for that watch. They couldn't find it. And then the next morning, the boy comes to work. He's sad, and the owner had the watch in his hand. And he looked at the owner, and he said, "How did you find it?" He said, "Well, after you all left, I realized how quiet it got. So I laid on the sawdust and I just listened. And after about a minute, I could hear the tick-tock, tick-tock. And I was able to locate the watch." The young boy was ecstatic. Sometimes we need to take the time to listen to God. That's why in Psalms 46:10 it says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will exalt you among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth." God is reminding us to be still. What happens when we were still? We listen. Too often we get so busy in our lives that we don't have the time to be still and to hear God. But what about Isaiah 30:21? "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" When we take the time to pause and to listen, the Holy Spirit will guide us along the way. But we need to learn how to pause and to listen. Now, remember the question I asked you at the beginning of this lesson? How does someone determine how much something is worth? The answer was, what are people willing to pay for it? So how much are you worth to God? Well, all you have to do is look at the cross. That is how much God values your life. He sent his son to die for you. To truly understand this is what gives us the courage to live a life with a vision that God has for our life. The Bible presents life as a gift with a purpose, meant to be lived in fellowship with God, stewarding his creation, fulfilling his mission, and ultimately enjoying eternal communion with him. This understanding offers a comprehensive answer to the question of life's meaning, one that integrates the realities of human experience with the hope of eternal life in Jesus. Well, I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and until next time, God bless, and I hope to see you all in our Father's home.